Teens age 13 to 19 spend upwards of 9 hours a day connected to a smartphone, a tablet, or a computer. This is according to Digital Day Research. And children between 8 and 12 years old average 6 hours a day, while children who are between 5 and 7 spend roughly 4.5 hours in front of a screen. There are benefits to being connected, but all of that screen time does set up potential problems for our kids. Joining me today to dive deeper into this topic are Sidra Beckett. She is a counselor with St. Luke's Children's Center for Neurobehavioral Medicine. Sarah is a college student and grew up in this environment. And Sarah's mom, Carol, who has had to navigate this landscape as a parent. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Well, we've been having a lively discussion off the air about this. it seems to be top of mind if you're a parent. And Sidra, I'd like to start with you. First, let's be clear. There is research that shows there are benefits to social media,
Absolutely. To
screen time. So we're not saying this is all bad.
Right.
So where do we start to run into problems?
I think there's a lot of research that is coming out that's showing a correlation to depression, anxiety, but it's not causation, right? And so we have to be pretty tricky with the research we read and really pay attention to dissecting that research, because there isn't a whole lot of information still out there. And we're going to continue to get more. But in terms of ages, that is also pretty individual. When I work with parents on, you know, the age for social media is 13, well, at 11, some girls are emotionally capable of self-regulating. And at 15, some boys are not emotionally capable of self-regulating. And so I think it's really individually based on the foundation and the core of each kiddo to make that decision.
So it's really knowing your child.
Right.
So Carol, talk to me about being a mom and having had to navigate this with your now young adult children.
Mm-hmm. So my kids span the age of 26 to 19. So my 26-year-old was right on the front end. As everything was coming out, it was all brand new. And it was like the Wild West, because as parents, we weren't able to keep up with it at all. There were so many things, and the kids were much faster. And there weren't as many kind of like checks and balances and security controls and things like that. Yeah. So they were really figuring a lot out. And so there was a lot of exposure to things that I didn't understand what was happening, and that I wasn't great at that point in time in guiding. I feel like parents today have a lot more ability to know what's coming up, what their opportunities are for security type things on phones, on computers, and things like that. I always remembered like seeing my kid like on a nap, and he'd have his phone. He'd be holding his phone so that if someone texted him or something happened, it would wake him up. And then trying to, like, in the middle of the night, like, because then I was like staring at AT&T bills going, but it says at 3 o'clock in the morning you're on your phone. It's like, I wasn't on my phone, Mom. So trying to figure out like what was really happening and trying to guide them through something that I was unfamiliar with. I feel like my daughter, I think the boys went more for like the gaming type things, and that's where they dove deep. I see the girls more doing the social media and the, you know, what's going on, who's where, what are they missing? And I feel like that, anecdotally, seeing that within that female teenage group, I do think there was more anxiety and depression. I can't speak to that research-wise, but I can speak to that within looking
as a
at a peer group. Yeah.
And Sarah, I want to bring you into the conversation. You know, you're a college student now, but you said about middle school is when you started getting involved with social media. Mm-hmm. How do you think it affected you?
I think growing up, I've always compared myself to others. Mm-hmm. And I think that Instagram kind of started when I was in junior high around there. And there's a lot of famous people out there who are beautiful, great bodies. And I found myself comparing myself to them, comparing myself to friends. And also just the thing of like fear of missing out. Like all your friends will post things that they're here and you're not there, and you'll be sad that you're not invited. Mm-hmm. And then, like, for me, it goes in things like, why am I not invited? Am I not fun enough? Am I not nice enough? Am I not pretty enough? And I think it just dives deep into, like, people compare themselves to others because of social media. And there's this norm that women are supposed to have the bodies they're supposed to look like and how they're supposed to act. And I think that started young for me, and I've kind of grown up with it, which is hard, and it's hard to get over it. But also, like, the thing I realized is looking back when I was younger, I think all the, like, Disney princess movies is also kind of hard, because you don't see any princesses who are normal size. They're all skinny, skinny waist.
Perfect makeup, perfect hair.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. And I think kind of growing up with that also set an example of, like, what women are supposed to look like.
And Cedra, I wanted to ask you, we had a couple of listener questions, one from a kindergarten teacher, Anne, and she says she's concerned about young children and brain development as far as focus and problem solving go. Is that a concern that parents should have with all of this screen time?
Yes, absolutely. That so our brain is more plastic, like the neuroplasticity, early on and even through adolescence. And there's different parts based on your age and development that are more open to that change and growth than others. And having that constant input does spike your dopamine receptors and those pleasure zones. And it does turn it into that dependence type response where it just feels so good. And when you have some areas of your brain that are working and learning and growing, whether that is due to screen input and the dopamine pleasure zones, then that causes other areas of your brain to not have the growth that could potentially be there. So there is some concern, and there should be.
So then what about the idea of using screen time as educational purpose? We had another listener ask about that. Moya, she said, you know, with her kids, she said an example would be ABC Mouse.
Yeah. There's amazing apps, even for anxiety and depression now. There's so many amazing apps that are screen just as the base and the foundation. But in terms of age and time spent, I think it just has to have a balance. And right now, I don't know that kids are not on screens during their whole school day. I mean, there's so much happening in the school setting that has screens. And so if you think about all day long on screens or iPads or whatever they're doing, and then all evening and afternoon,
they come home.
That's a lot of input for kiddos. So
I'm speaking with Cedra Beckett, a counselor with St. Luke's Children's Center for Neurobehavioral Medicine, Sarah, a college student, and Sarah's mom, Carol, about social media use and kids. And we have been getting listener feedback. If you have a question, you can tweet us, KBSX91.5, or idahomatters@boisestate.edu. We'll do our best to get to those questions. Cedra, what should parents then do when it comes to teaching their kids about social media use? And for example, what you put out there, it's out there.
Always.
Always. And I don't think kids sometimes understand that.
No, they don't. And that's a difficult concept to understand. That's a concept of permanency, right? When we're living in a world where there is not a lot of that happening. Every day there's something new. And a part of adolescence and young adulthood is trying on different hats and figuring out your individual identity anyways. And that's, you know, when you're a different person every day, why would we understand the concept what we did yesterday? So that's so hard. And I think as a parent myself, I have a 14, 12, and 11-year-old. And as a parent, it's so important, I think, to work on that core and that foundation and that value system so that you can have these great conversations with them about what they're putting out there and what social media is actually a tool for.
And what about the idea of how involved you should be and what they're doing on social media or just screen time in general?
Yeah.
And I mean, Carol, do you feel like you could have done more as a parent?
Oh, definitely. Right. If I look back, would I do it differently? I would. I love the idea a lot of times where when kids come home, there's a basket and, you know, the phones have to go into the basket at a certain time, or at nighttime, things definitely have to be shut off. And again, I think a lot of what you're talking about is that communication of really talking about understanding, you know, what are the consequences of certain things that you put on there. And I guess one of my concerns is it's just like their ability to communicate. Mm-hmm. I feel like because so much is done texting and that's the type of communications these kids have, that they do have a hard time being able to sit down and have a conversation, be it with their friends or be it with an adult, and not feel so vulnerable when they're in person talking, because they can do the, you know, text instead.
And Cedra, I think sometimes, you know, you don't want to be the bad guy as a parent. I've got a 10-year-old and a 6-year-old, and it is not a conversation in our house that you will get a phone until you're 13. It is a tool, not a toy.
Right.
And it's because we haven't left our oldest at home by himself. I mean, there are reasons why. I understand there are necessities sometimes in other families that a child may need a phone. But are those the types of conversations, even at a young age, that you should be having with your children as to why there are certain limits?
Absolutely. Unless you are really having major restrictions and you have the capacity. As a counselor, I don't have the tech-savvy capacity to understand how to work my iPhone. My kids understand.
Of course they do.
They know how to get past every restriction. They always will. And if they don't know their
Sarah's
friends.
Sarah's laughing. She's like, yeah.
Their friends will know, right? And so it's one of those dynamics where you have to have those conversations if you aren't able to have those and be willing to understand that this is going to just be awful for you for a little bit because you're just not ready to have it.
So bottom line, best advice you would give parents about screen time and social media?
I think being involved and knowing what content they have is absolutely important. Having limits and boundaries, absolutely important. And each kid can handle a different amount and a different level of responsibility and privilege to that. And you really have to work with your kid. You know your kid. And most importantly, having communication, right? So that when something is, you know, I love that Sarah mentioned about how it's just that constant comparison and how that feels so negative and nasty. Being able to have those open lines of communication so that you can have that conversation mm-hmm. with, this is how I'm feeling. This is what this right. is doing to me. And as a parent, we can help mm-hmm. with that.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank all three of you for coming in. I think we could continue this conversation, but the time is up forever, right? It's a struggle every day. It's a struggle every day. But thank you, Sidra Beckett, Sarah, and Carol. Thank you for coming in and talking about social media use in kids.